No, not at all. It was literally between my ex-husband and the children and myself, and it became an international and a legal battle, and because of what actually happened. But if you boil it down, it was only to I only did it for the sake of my children, being able to have a mother back in their life. And there was no disrespect to the public. There was no disrespect to Lebanese laws or authorities at all. And I want to make that clear. I respect Lebanon. I respect their laws. I respect their people and their culture. My children are half Lebanese, so I have nothing against Lebanese people. It was just a matter of a mother wanting to be in their children's lives again.
How did things go so wrong from your perspective?
I think there was a lot of influence, and there still is a lot of influence on Ali from his family to do what he is doing and to continue doing what he is doing. I'm very disappointed and ashamed at his family that he has allowed this to happen and for the children to not have a loving, capable mother in their lives. I'm very disappointed in his own mother for not standing up and talking to him about what the children's rights actually are, and that being that they have both parents in their life.
Yeah.
You know, if I had done something terribly, horribly wrong to those children or was a bad person or had a sordid background history of, you know, all of this horrible stuff, it would have come out in the media. They would have found it by now.
But Sally, you wrote in the book that you managed to co-parent the children, and that Ali agreed that the children would live with you here, and he used to come and visit Lebanon here regularly. So why do you think Ali changed his mind? What triggered his actions?
I think it was an act. I think it all was an act, you know, for those previous few years to gain my trust back and take the children back, because I think his mother wanted them back there. I think that's what it came down to. His mother didn't think of me as the right type of mother or the right type of person to be raising her grandchildren.
Yeah.
Because of the religion differences, the cultural differences, she just couldn't stand the fact that they were half Australian and that their mother was, you know, from Australia, a very different place to where she's used to
be. Do you think your new boyfriend and your pregnancy were the reasons behind that?
No, because Ali didn't even know. I didn't even know that I was pregnant when Ali told me the children weren't coming back. I didn't even know. So he didn't know about that.
Because you mentioned in the book that you said we were technically still married when pregnant. Yeah.
But we'd been separated. The government official documents here state that we separated in 2013 because child support, the child support agency who was contacted on my behalf, just to officially tell them that Ali was out of the country, and that's where I was able to get my assistance for study because I was going to uni full time by that stage. I came back and tried to, you know, start further study to gain some more independence. So it's all on record. The thing is, Ali didn't want to. He wanted a divorce, and I have him verbally saying that several times. I have voice recordings of that. He wanted a divorce, and so we separated in 2013. But he didn't want to sign any divorce papers. Yeah, when I put them in front of him, he denied it. But now he sent through the divorce papers now because he has the children. Yeah.
You were talking about the difference in culture, and you lived in Lebanon for a while. Did you find it difficult to fit into the different culture and religion?
Of course, I tried. I dressed, you know, to the appropriate expectations over there. I tried to be as respectful as possible to their cultural and their religious beliefs. I tried my best to assimilate, and I really did try to learn the language. Yeah. Ali didn't talk Arabic to the children. He didn't talk Arabic to myself. I asked him, would ask him of an evening, what does this word mean, or teach me this sentence. But he didn't have an interest in wanting to help me learn. I really did want to learn Arabic. It's a very hard language, I think, but I felt as though, you know, I was quite capable. And I love Lebanon. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. And I still think that. It's just sad that, you know, there's these type of people out there that I guess are shameful in the way that they're acting, denying their own flesh and blood, their own rights to to both parents.
What is it like to be in a Lebanese jail, Sally?
The authorities, in all respect to them, they did their job. They were professional, and they did look after us and treat us well to the best of their ability. I have I can't say a bad word about them at all. They were very professional in their job. The jail was not great. The circumstances inside were not fantastic, but it's a jail. You know, it's not meant to be a holiday or a hotel. Exactly. The worst possible part of it all, though, the whole ordeal, was having to say goodbye to their children. I would spend 5 years, no disrespect to the Lebanese law, but I would spend 5 years in jail, and then I was able to take my children back to Australia after, at the end of it. That's how hard it was to say goodbye to them.
It must have been heartbreaking to say goodbye.
Can
you recount to us the final moments with your children in Lebanon?
Yeah, I can. It's still very vivid in my mind. Layla was asking if I could come back to her house to have girly time and paint our nails. And after I said that I couldn't, just because of things between her dad and myself, she asked if she could come back to Australia again. And she said to her father, "I'm going to go back with mummy to Australia, okay?" And Noah said, I want to come. And Ali interrupted them and said, "No, you know, you're staying here with daddy. You're not going back." And Layla was very sad. And she actually said, when I put her in the car seat, "I have something for you." And she handed me her little Barbie doll ring, her little pink ring. She said, "This is my favorite ring. Take this so you don't forget me." So she knew. She knew.
Will you ever go back to face the state charges in Lebanon?
I don't know. I'm going to take legal advice on that and just ask my lawyers. Again, I really do, and the one thing I want the Lebanese community to know is that there was absolutely no disrespect to the laws over there and them as people. I don't know, I'd do it in any country. You know, if it would happen in Germany or that, it was my desperation far outweighed the laws that I saw. It wasn't a disrespect. It was, I was desperate. And you need to ask those people, okay, if you feel as though I disrespected the law, then what about the children's rights? That surely should outweigh any law. You know, children are the next generation, and the fact that they're now growing up without a mother, and were before I took this desperate attempt to try and recover them. It had been 10 months before this that it all went public that I had been disconnected. Need to look at the picture.
Do you communicate with them now?
No, nothing.
You don't
this
find
is what
anything?
I mean. Not even a photo. It was Noah's birthday yesterday. It was my little boy's fourth birthday. It was the second birthday I've missed now since I've been gone, without even such as a photo. Not even an email, nothing. I tried calling and calling until I started crying because I felt so hopeless, and I just gave up. He won't answer. He won't let me talk to them.